This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have some heat, don't we? 216-474-0092. So you heard, you might have heard Mary Kay talking about Amari Cooper about 40 minutes ago. That entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. Mitch is putting it up. It is sweeping the entire city, sweeping Northeast Ohio right now, because there is a boy, she brought out a can of gas and a match and set the world on fire and then walked right out of here. Folks, what will be the next domino to fall with the Browns after this 1-5 start? Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about it in their latest podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland. Subscribe now at 92.3thefan.com on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. They have a post-game drop after every game. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Now, at the end of this, I got to get to the point that what she said about the Watson and the scheme and everything like that. With the Cooper stuff, you know, I'm trying to see it from his way. It's very easy to, and the Browns are 1-5. It's like, okay, the Browns are always good with their veterans, is what we're told. 920, we're definitely talking about Guardians here. We're always good with our veterans, right? Right. Okay, we'll take care of you. We'll get you the money. We'll get you the bonuses, this, that, and the other. Okay. But you are going to be a prideful person. These are athletes. I try to be understanding. If you all of a sudden were being told that things are going to work out, and then all of a sudden you heard that they were trying to trade you for Brandon Ayuk, how are you going to take that? Are you going to take that well? Now, that does not excuse, as much as I may be bothered with it, if this is true, poor play that's relatively on purpose, poor preparation that's relatively on purpose. Okay? That doesn't excuse that. So one hand is going to have to wash the other on this. But ultimately, people are going to take the side of the team that is 1-5. If the Browns were 5-1 and trading him right now, what's the conversation? You know the conversation. We go as the wind blows, and the wind blows towards the winner. And right now, Amari Cooper's going to a team that's 4-2. And it's part of the reason why yesterday when there were some people, not everybody, certainly not, but there were some people, can they fleece the Bills? They fleeced nobody. The Browns were expected to be a playoff team. They expected themselves to be a playoff team this year, and they had to trade their biggest wide receiver, their best wide receiver still, to a team that's 4-2 that's trying to make the Super Bowl, and we are 1-5.
Does it matter
that's
to you?
That's not fleecing.
What Amari Cooper does in Buffalo, does it matter to you at all? Because if he's just terrible there in Buffalo and he's dropping balls, then what are we saying?
If he's dropping her, then we made a great decision. The Browns have made a great decision.
But I mean in general about this bigger conversation right now, because it does look like he was loafing a bit. It does look like, even though, and I've seen all the numbers, not only his drops, but also Watson's inaccurate passes to him. I've seen all the numbers. My eyes also tell me that that was not the same Amari Cooper from the last 2 years.
Yeah.
We do know veteran players in this league, especially ones that
they
want new contracts.
Off. Some guys fall off.
And also ones, and we've seen them orchestrate this. I mean, Devontae, you know, you just saw what happened with the Jets and, you know, the Raiders and the injuries. And is he healthy? Is he not healthy? Like, this is kind of how the league works, right?
Yeah, it would be a poor look. It would certainly change the way I feel about him. Because we are trying to find out something with the quarterback, but I can't believe a wide receiver, like if he were saying, hey, my hamstring hurts and he weren't on the field, I could believe it. You're going to go out there and run these routes? Well, you're just trying to get exercise. You're going to run out there and go do these routes? What, drop the ball on purpose? You're bobbling it on purpose? It just makes you look bad.
But obviously not bad enough for the Buffalo Bills not to want to trade for him.
Well, that's the thing. Why would you go out there and make yourself look bad on purpose? You can come up with an injury. Ah, man, I can't go today. Because they can do whatever. They can take MRIs. They can do whatever. If you ain't feeling it, you ain't feeling it. And boy, in 25 years of Browns football in that building since 1999, guys, there have been plenty of guys, some big names too, who have said, yeah, just not feeling it. Yeah, just can't do it this week, bud. Like, yeah. But
the Bills are clearly banking on this being a Browns problem and a Deshaun Watson problem, not an Amari Cooper problem.
Yeah. Well, that's their gamble that they're going
to
take.
I mean, to send a third-round pick for how many more games are there left in the year? Is he going to play?
11.
Is he going to play this week?
I imagine.
Okay, so a third-rounder for just that many games for a guy who has not been good this year, like, they are banking on this being a Watson and Browns problem.
216-474-0092. Nick and Menner, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
You keep blaming Amari Cooper for all this, but this never was. When you go out there to be a quarterback for a football team, you got to have heart.
Well, what's that got to do with anything there? And Nick, you broke up there for a second. What's the thing with the heart?
You ever watch the high school football game? When you go there to watch those kids play, they go out there, they play like they're trying to get somewhere. You watch a college team play, they play like they're trying to get there. This guy should have never been in the NFL to begin with.
Who, Deshaun Watson or Amari Cooper?
Yep, Deshaun Watson.
Oh, okay. Nick,
if you can't get the ball to your receiver can't catch the ball.
All right, Nick, thank you very much for the call. We moving on?
I knew a lot of high school players, a lot of buddies of mine. Their heart
That's
wasn't
probably,
in
probably, I'll just put My this buddies. Out there. If you call in talking about the Browns and go, do you watch high school football, it's probably the end of your sentence.
My buddy would tell the story. He played for a local high school. I'll tell you guys off the air. And their running back, he was really good, but he gets stoned before the game, and he'd carry the ball like this. Like he was carrying around like a, not a loaf of bread, like you're carrying something by the top. Like almost like he's snapping the ball like a center, where they have the dead ball snap now. Yeah. Like that's how he carried the ball through the line. They said he fumbled all the time. But he was an amazing athlete, but he gets stoned before the games, and that's how he'd do it. Did that kid care?
Was it for the love of the game?
I can't tell that story. I do know of a guy who might have thought skeletons were chasing him on a punt return. That was a touchdown, though. All right, Jim in Strongsville. Hello.
Guys, why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? Listen.
Am I surprised, or am I just shocked and appalled?
Well, here's my whole part with Amari Cooper. All we heard is, like, what a professional he is. He's a pro's pro. No, he's not. This is a quote from an article when he got traded to the Browns. The Cowboys, of course, trade-dumped Cooper in 2022, sending him to the Browns. Why? Because they didn't view him as a full effort-giving foundational star worth being paid. This is this guy's MO. When he's not happy, this is what he does. So this whole idea that he's a pro and that he's going to take these all these things in stride, why? He's never done it before.
But Jim, what percentage of wide receivers, good ones, in the NFL fit that exact description?
The effort-giving part, I disagree. Look, a lot of them are head cases, and a lot of them are like trouble. You know, they're divas. But the effort thing is a big deal. I don't know any of the great ones that go out there and don't give full effort. Even T.O. or anybody else, they might have antics off the field, might have antics in the locker room. But you're talking about effort on the field, and these guys are professionals and they do have pride. So I would say that it's very rare that you're going to see a guy truly loaf. And like this has been a knock on him. I'm sorry. I don't get it. Like, we think we're going to get something different out of these guys. The Browns, if anything, their biggest problem has been they have a tendency to pick up these guys, mostly wide receivers that haven't worked out and have been disgruntled other places, and think you're going to bring them in and they're going to be any different.
Jim, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. Let me get to John in Middleburg Heights. You're next up on the Fan.
Yeah, I don't think this was – we shouldn't be – blaming Amari on any of this. The Browns traded him to a first place team with a team that needed a wide receiver. Was he unhappy in Cleveland? I think every player is unhappy in Cleveland right now because the coaching staff is in shambles. You have Stefanski still calling plays when he shouldn't be. You have an offensive coordinator from a team that cut him because Allen's better than the offensive coordinator. Like, this is a like everybody keeps blaming Watson too. Like when you go to work and you don't like Lima for the day, do you like, you know, suck it up on purpose just so that you can get through the day early? He can go home.
Oh, no, you give 110%. Well, John, time, I will say he has put me in a shell once. What was that? Like a month ago, I would not talk to you during the one segment. That was early in the show, though, John. You might not have been awake for that one.
Probably not. But
I'm sorry. That's true, though.
Probably stoned or something. But the thing is, this is how many offensive linemen? How many offensive linemen have the Browns gone through this year alone? How many weeks of the season have they been unknown who's going to start at left or right guard or tackle or whatever?
A bunch of them.
Right, exactly. So it's not – this is not all on Amari Cooper. They actually did him a favor. I think the Browns did it solid for him. They're probably going to go and – I mean, the Bills are a Super Bowl contender. Let's be real.
Yeah, like yes.
If he was a bad player and he was doing it on purpose, do you think the Browns would have bent over backwards to go there? No way. They would have traded him to, like – the Raiders.
Well, no, but they're the team that's offering a third-round pick. Thank you for the call, John. I mean, the Bills are offering a third-round pick. Who says no to that? I can't say no to that. They weren't going to keep him next year.
You're also
so if you're getting a third-round pick for him, like any more time you go, yeah, you're 1-5, you're getting a third-round offer, like you have to take that. You have to do it. Do we have time to play that Mary Kay clip? No. All right. Something has been gnawing away at me for the last 40 minutes. I just have a simple question to ask when we come back. That and Game 3 is coming. Today, 5:08. Are you excited for it, Tom?
Let's get a little pep in the step here. Let's go.
They have to stop beating themselves if they want to beat the Yankees. That's coming up on the Fan. It's been 40 minutes, and I want to I have to get to it here. At the end of the interview, I asked Mary Kay if Alex Van Pelt, if Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry's jobs are still safe. It turned into a conversation a bit about Deshaun Watson. This is the end of the interview with Mary Kay Cabot here when she talks about Deshaun Watson. I just have a question to ask. Go ahead.
I do not believe that Jimmy Haslam is forcing Kevin Stefanski to play Deshaun Watson right now. I still think it is the right decision for him to continue to play Deshaun right now because you have to know what you have in him. You have to get to the end of the season or maybe close to the end of the season and figure out if you need to go in another direction at quarterback. There might come a time where it makes sense to play DTR to see if he can be your next Brock Purdy or something like that. But for right now, it's not time to throw Deshaun Watson on the scrap heap just yet. Yes, some of it is his fault. Plenty of it is his fault. But a lot of it is a scheme that just did not work this season. A lot of it is your number one receiver not being completely all in. There are a lot of extenuating circumstances that you have to eliminate those variables and see what you have left in Deshaun Watson for the future.
I'm going to try to say this without screaming because that answer, I respect Mary Kay and I love Mary Kay. That answer made me very agitated. Let me ask you this. Looking you dead in the eye, Anthony. Who did they switch that scheme for?
Deshaun Watson?
So the scheme doesn't work. And they switch the scheme for the quarterback. As calmly as I can say it. Because I know everybody likes hearing me screaming and yelling. But I got to save my voice at some point. Who did they switch the scheme for? They switched it for the quarterback. So who created this mess? A quarterback that sees ghosts? Who allegedly can't read a defense? Still? How many years is he into this league? What did we trade for? Could that void the contract? Is there any sort of a guarantee that he could read a defense? Can that void this whole deal? And get us out of Brown's prison?
You want like an aptitude test?
I'm not going to get loud here. When she tells me that the scheme's there, and what did she say about the number one wide receiver that didn't show up? Okay, fine. The scheme was changed for who? That's all I'm going to say. As calmly as I possibly can. I want to yell. I want to get loud. It feels so good. I'm not going to do it. Do you have any more to add on this subject before we move on to the Guardians?
I think we're all in agreement on this one.
Okay. You cannot continuously just keep
finding excuses for him because you're paying him a lot of money. At some point, we have to look at this thing and ask, when is enough going to be enough? I've heard the entire gamut of it. We'll have Nick Chubb coming back on Sunday. I heard that. Remember, that was a couple of weeks ago from some people. We have to see what he is without Nick Chubb. Even though the team went out and won a whole bunch of games, and we love Nick. We love Nick. He's one of the greatest Browns who has ever played a game for this football team. We love and respect Nick. A bunch of games and went to the playoffs without Nick last year. We have to find out what he is with Nick Chubb on the field. And let's just keep separating him from players. Is it going to be Jerry Jeudy's fault now? Is it going to be Elijah? No, it's going to be Elijah. Is it going to be Cedric Tillman's fault now? Is it going to be David Njoku's fault now?
I got an inkling of how this might work.
Is it going to be Webster Slaughter's fault next? Is it going to be Brian Brennan's fault at some point? Joe Giravicius is still in the area. Maybe we can pin some of this on him.
I think I know how this is going to go down.
How's it going to go down?
Well, I thought he'd get benched in the Philly game, but the problem was what happened at halftime, I think Chip might have changed that. I mean, they had a chance to be a runaway freight train, and instead, Myles Garrett, Rodney McLeod made it a good game, and Philly wasn't playing all that well, so stuck it out. If this week, on a day that will be remembered as Nick Chubb's return to the football field, return to the great fans of Northeast Ohio, I think fans are only going to this game this week to go see Nick Chubb and to celebrate him before the game and to see him hopefully score a touchdown. They're not going there to see if we can pick up the pieces on a 1-5 last place football team that looks like it's going nowhere, that they've already, the fire sale might have already begun. They're going there to see Nick Chubb and to celebrate. If somehow that quarterback sat.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabotages the Nick Chubb return game. Do you know what the fans are going to sound like in the second half of that game? Especially if it's Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, the one team you've had success against. If they are marching the ball up and down the field.
I know what they're going to sound
like.
And
this game's a blowout.
I know what they're going to sound like.
That could be it for the Deshaun Watson experience.
Yeah. They changed the scheme. Who'd they change it for? They just decided to surprise him. Walked in there and decided to let go of Alex Van Pelt and the running backs coach, Stump Mitchell. He walked in there. They all stood and went, "Surprise!" That's it. Sorry, I had to get loud at some point.
What'd you get today? I went and picked up a new scheme.
Yeah, we got a new scheme for you. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they did surprise him. Maybe Deshaun Watson walked in there and went, whoa, what, you guys are doing what? I didn't ask for any of this. Nah, we're going to change the scheme for you. Maybe that's it.
I don't know what scheme works for him right now. I mean, guy's got all the lowest accuracy numbers, like in recent football history. I don't know what scheme supports that. Would somebody tell me? You've got
to, the scheme is to put a new quarterback in.
Right.
That's the scheme.
Right.
That's the scheme.
I was listening to guys on an NFL podcast talk
about
how rookie quarterbacks have never had it easier when they come to the league because the coaches are making it so easy all the way down to, hey, your plays are all on your arm. They just basically tell you to make one read. You're throwing sideways instead of vertical. You see all these quarterbacks have like 66. Have you seen Will Levis's completion percentage right now?
No.
And he's like a laughing stock, right? Will Levis?
Yeah.
Like we all agree he's probably not the future.
He's not one of those you go, look at him.
Yeah. He's got a 66% completion percentage. Oh. It's never been easier. And what is our guy doing? Bottom of the barrel. Some of the worst in recent NFL memory. What offense does that work with? What offense can you scheme around that? The worst numbers from a clean pocket in the league outside of, I think, Caleb Williams. So at least Caleb Williams making big plays. What offense? Somebody tell me what offense?
I don't know.
There is none. One does not exist.
216-474-0092.
Certainly not the jet sweep to Cedric Tillman offense.
Can I take one more here?
Sure.
I have to scratch this itch. Jeff in Strongsville, hello.
Gentlemen, I'm going to make a quick analogy for you. Keith Britton was just promoted to brand manager, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming, I'm not going out too far out on a limb, that you guys all respect and have admiration for Keith and think it's well-deserved, correct?
I don't.
Depends on the day.
Okay. But all joking aside, the Browns brought Deshaun Watson in and gave him basically the LeBron treatment, right? They gave him everything that he needed to be successful. And guess what? He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. And every player on this team saw it. In addition, they saw how Cooper was treated by the same management that brought this guy in. I'm telling you, this is systemic. I've never seen Joel Bitonio let guys go behind, get by him as easily as he has this season. His rating is worse than his rookie year. Cooper dropping passes, not running the right routes. When has that ever happened?
Are you saying they're all taking a dive now?
We're taking dives?
I'm not reckless speculation. Dives, I'm saying
these men have families. They have responsibilities.
I'm saying that these guys are not playing for Deshaun Watson. Period. They are playing for themselves. They are doing what they need to do, either to not get injured, to get their next contract. In Cooper's case, to get out of Cleveland. It's all and Ken, what you just said is a big piece of that puzzle. Let's look at it objectively. Do you really think that Stefanski wanted to get rid of Van Pelt last year?
According to Lyman, no.
Right. So who made that decision? It wasn't Stefanski. And what did Stefanski do? The only thing that he could do is say, okay, I'll bring in a new offensive coordinator, but I'm going to still call the plays. And so what are we doing? We're calling dump-off plays. You guys just said it. He's completing, what, 60% of his passes, maybe even less? I haven't looked. But all the plays are designed for short, intermediate completions because they know he can't do it deep.
I can't. Well, no, first I wanted to laugh you off the radio, Jeff, but I can't deny what you're saying here. I mean, there's definitely there's thousands and thousands of examples, because at first I didn't get what you were saying, but now I'm getting it. There are thousands of examples of guys who play for quarterbacks who aren't even as talented as Deshaun Watson originally was, and they play their asses off for him, and they go out and they win football games. And there's plenty of examples of guys who are going, yeah, I'm not going to get myself hurt out here. I'm going to do the bare minimum here. So sure. I can't deny that.
And the last thing I'll say is those guys that do that are playing for people that are leaders, right? Cooper was and probably still is a leader on this team, right?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson was handed that role and never deserved it, never earned it, and was treated, he was given the LeBron treatment and never deserved it.
Well, I'm glad I took this call. I really am, Jeff. Thank you very much for it. Because it goes back to what you said at the very beginning of the show, Anthony. At 6 a.m. about this, here you are. And I think at the beginning they bought into it because they were just coming off the Baker experience. That became a wreck because to the veterans on that football team, they lost their trust in the guy. And Baker people will go crazy. Guys, this isn't revisionist history.
No, we know for a fact.
We know
what
for
it was.
A fact. And you can go back to all the articles and everything written by multiple people, and we've told you many, many times about it. There were people on that team, it's either him or me. I get it. And they had lost their trust in this guy. So now they're getting a player that the last time they saw him, he was scintillating on the field. And now all this has been done, and they're 3 years into this and going, man, we're busting our ass over here, and we've seen this offense work with other people. It's not working with him. And the worst thing that happened was that there's proof positive where it was. You won a game with P.J. Walker. You won a game with Dorian Thompson-Robinson where he was in tears. He was so full of emotion after the Pittsburgh Steelers game. You won with a has-been, quote-unquote, quarterback, and you went to the playoffs. Didn't work out for us. We got boat raced in that playoff game because I think he started to turn into a pumpkin. But still, you got the very best out of that guy for that short amount of time. I mean, guys, there's how much more evidence do you need? And I think the players are sitting there saying the same thing. So to say a player is sandbagging it is something that could get you hit in the mouth. Like if I go out there and I actually were to say so-and-so was sandbagging it and I go walk into that building,
that would end the Rodney
I wouldn't be
McLeod
surprised if one of them
situation.
Tried to swing at me. Yeah. I'm not going to sit there and accuse him of sandbagging. I don't know what's going on with Amari Cooper or what went on with Amari Cooper since he's no longer our football player here. I don't know what went on with him. I don't know if he was just sandbagging it on purpose. Maybe there was. You can say what you want to about Mary Kay. It does make sense. All right, he didn't work out in the preseason. He didn't go through those practices. They were putting in a new scheme. A couple of guys could have been rolling their eyes and go, yeah, we need a new scheme now. Okay, we're a playoff team. We did well on offense last year. We're putting up 30 points a game. Now we need a new scheme. We'll see how this works. They could all have been rolling their eyes and doing that. But there is validity into what she was saying about that. I cannot deny that. So now we have to go out and see what he does against Buffalo and see what they do without him. Maybe it is addition with subtraction. Maybe Nick Wilson's right. I don't think he will be. Maybe he will be.
Will it be Jerry Jeudy's coming out party?
It'd be great. We'll be doing well. That means we'll win games and we'll be putting up over 20 points in a game for the first time in 6 weeks.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, I'm just hoping here. Maybe Rodney McLeod won't be our leading scorer. It's nice to have a co-host as leading scorer.
Can Rodney McLeod demand
touches?
Used
to be a leading scorer in something completely different.
Yeah, can he demand touches on offense now?
Rodney McLeod?
Has he gotten to that point?
Yeah, Deion Sanders did it, and we're about to draft his son this coming spring, so what the hell? 216, I'm kidding. All right.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, this comes to us from the Out of Pocket podcast, hosted by Robert Griffin III. He had Colorado's Travis Hunter on this week, and Travis Hunter seemingly making his own Heisman case against one particular running back from Boise State.
And I want you to know that I don't want y'all to shy away from speaking that stuff into existence. I don't think that you can win it. I definitely think you can win it.
I know I can win it, but
Robert,
I don't know.
You couldn't win it either.
I don't know who's there. I mean, y'all see Ashton Genty, but it's not like we haven't seen a running back that's good. We haven't seen a player that plays both ways, and I'm going to keep saying that. It's like he have, I think, 95 carries for a thousand yards. If I had 95 catches, how much yards you think I have? If I had 95 targets on defense, what do you think I'll have? Oh. If I had 95 catches on offense, what do you think I'll have? So I try to take, like, he got double the touches I got on the offensive side of the ball, and I still have defensive stats that's still crazy, and we only in week 6.
All right, everybody don't like Travis Hunter because of who he plays for.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, the embodiment of everything that's wrong with college football in Colorado. Now, that's a faction because there's another faction that is celebrating everything that's happening at Colorado.
They had Russell Westbrook on the sidelines the other night. They lost, but they still have
the sidelines. Yeah, every game they get a few. Now, the celebrity status after every loss goes down a peg.
Mm-hmm. They have Warren Sapp as a D-line coach. It'd be fun.
So I listen to him, and obviously I get the flaw in the logic everybody is pointing out about that, like the targets and everything. I will say it works against him. It is weird. It's the same thing with Otani. I don't know how to compare Travis Hunter to other college football players or Otani to other baseball players because they're doing things that nobody does. So, I mean, do we have to come up with their own award? Because clearly Travis Hunter, what he's doing, I don't know that we're ever going to see again. I don't know that we're ever going to see
if the role is supposed to be the best overall football player. And the marble mouth of Crawford County is the voter. Now, he can't talk about it because of their rules, even though they have a million voters out there, and they'll never let me be one of them for reasons I can't get into on the air.
But he can talk about what kind of season Travis Hunter's having.
I guess he can if he wants to, and I'd welcome him to do that. He can't tell us who he's voting for on the air, but I would make the argument going, hey, isn't the reward for the best overall football player? He's playing both ways. So, yeah. But it hurts his
stock. Has more. Yeah, the impact that he can have.
It hurts
but
his stock.
He's not a quarterback.
But he's also, I mean, in this clip, he's campaigning for himself.
Sure.
It hurts his stock. It's supposed to be about humility, the greatness of college football and all that stuff. The voters care.
Yeah.
I don't have a vote.
I'm saying that should be the least of the voting criteria.
Well, but that's what they care about.
On who's quietest and holds the biggest stick.
Like, agree.
I don't care about that.
I totally agree with you on that. I respect Ashton Genty. I think he's a great running back, but I think that Travis Hunter is.
But wait,
I haven't seen anything like this in 30 years.
What is the Heisman? Is there written criteria for the Heisman?
Yeah,
the most outstanding player in
football. And it's supposed to represent other things as well. Remember, that's the whole Reggie Bush argument.
If it's the most valuable, then it's a quarter. It needs to almost be a quarterback every year, or depending on the style of the team.
Well, but basically, it's a quarterback every year.
Yeah,
except for the COVID year.
Yeah, Travis Hunter, though, to me, this is the most special. What he is doing is the most special, that he's being able to do this on both ends of the field is clearly, to me, going to be more special than anything else. But he's the only one doing it. Should he win the award by default? Same thing with Otani. When he's pitching and hitting, nobody else does that. Does he automatically win?
Well, if you... No, because if you're just playing both sides of the field or both sides of the ball.
Is Otani the best player in baseball history or modern-day baseball history just by virtue of doing that?
Well, he hasn't pitched much over the last year.
But when he pitches, he's been outstanding.
Yeah.
Nobody else does that. None of the other hitters.
But that goes back to my Bo Jackson.
Barry Bonds didn't pitch.
That goes back to my Bo Jackson argument. What I said about two sports and greatest athlete ever, and you guys laughed me off the show. But I'm saying athlete. But overall, he didn't have a long enough to career to make the Halls of Fame and to do those things. But overall, athletes. But that's the cruel mistress of being an athlete there for those guys. And for him, I think that there's so many things about who his coach is, who he plays for, that they just will not allow it. They just will not allow it. I'd be surprised. I would vote for him to be the Heisman Trophy winner, but they will not allow it.
Most guys are not allowed to do this either. So I do wonder, could other guys do it? Like, I did a Ball State game last week. They had a kid that plays both offense and defense, and now they've said, you know what, we're just going to have him focus on offense. Like, he's really good on defense, but to get the most out of the team, they want him to focus on offense. So coaches aren't even allowing guys to do this.
Because most of the people voting do not realize that how hard it is for him to do this. You have to know offensive plays. You have to be able to run a route tree. You have to know what route to run at the right time. You can't just go out there and walk around and then decide to play. Defensively, you have to know these coverages. You're watching two sets of tape single week.
You're in all the meetings. Yes,
and this is a very difficult thing to do. You're playing. It's the Big 12. You're playing at a strong level.
And you left one thing out that's pretty important.
Not the highest level. It's not the Big 10 or SEC, but you understand. Go ahead.
You left out the fact that you have to be conditioned at the highest level to do that.
The guy's playing 120 snaps.
Who the hell can be out on a football field for 120 snaps?
Ultimately, again, I wonder, is a loss just a loss to a place like Colorado? Because if they lose another one, then it's like, all right, the best we can do is 9-3, but you're not going to go to 9-3. And so does he decide, you know what? I got to be an NFL football player. Goodbye. Then he's definitely not getting voted for it. So this could all be hot.
Man, I wish he would have won last week. That was a close game.
Shador played well enough to do so. No one wants to hear that.
He kept going backwards 20 yards.
No one wants to hear that.
And yet would then convert to third down. He had like a third down and 30 where he just casually flipped the ball down the sidelines for first down.
Guardians, I want to talk about more of that in the podcast coming up, the emerging podcast scene at 10:15. All right? 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. Guardians, winning tonight. Got it. Got to win, Guardians.
Go.
Can we get Matthew Boyd to four innings?
I hope that the first two games didn't take the spirit out. I hope that place will be crazy. I hope everybody gets their Christmas ale before they walk into the stadium.
You load up, you party.
Walk right down.
Get out there and get after it.
Walk right down the bridge. You'll see the Guardians flanked above. You walk into the stadium. Try to make it a few innings.
We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Hopefully it's a 2-1 ALCS. We'll get you ready for game four. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, for the Slippery Wizard Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Hey, sounds good.
Cool, I got on the last show.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.